I'm guessing, you know, nowadays from perhaps 10 or so years ago, we are talking about this particular subject a bit more than we used to.
Absolutely, and too right we should be. We really want autism to be in every, you know, we want that word in everybody's mouth. It's really important that we raise awareness and therefore we raise acceptance of autism, not in just Hampshire, across the country, across the world, but Autism Hampshire have done some incredible stuff in the last couple of weeks for Autism Acceptance Week. So I guess I'm here to tell you a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, tell us, because obviously we said there at the start, it is one of those subjects. Is it taboo? Is that the right thing to say? Because I'm guessing some people perhaps don't really want, like, still this day and age talking about it, do they?
I think it's one of those subjects where if you don't know how to talk about it, it's probably easier for people to not talk about it. They feel like that's the easier option. But actually, by talking about it and just being really open and honest, we're giving autistic people a voice, and we're giving people that might have never met anyone that's autistic a chance to learn a little bit more about them. You know, essentially, autism is just a way of describing people and the way that some people communicate and experience the world around them. And in actual fact, 2% of the population is diagnosed as autistic. So chances are people know somebody that's an autistic person. So I think it's really important that it's talked about, that people aren't shy to talk about it, that people are, you know, respectfully inquisitive about it and what it means for individuals, because it's different for every single individual, diagnosed or undiagnosed. And that's also really important as well, to recognise that there's a bit of a crisis in getting a diagnosis. So not
Really?
everyone has that.
I mean, I'm guessing more and more people are coming forward, are they? Is this is perhaps why it's being sort of diagnosed perhaps a little bit more, do you think?
I think it's, you know, diagnosis, I guess it's probably not my area of
No.
expertise, but what I do know is that it was misdiagnosed for a long time, years ago, and people didn't really understand it. It was often, you know, going back not that many years ago, it was often misdiagnosed as mental health issues, or sometimes, particularly in women that mask quite a lot, it was almost categorized as, you know, postnatal depression or a bit of anxiety, or, you know, no one really understood. It was really difficult to get that diagnosis. Whereas now I feel like people are a lot more self-aware. We're all really into our mindfulness and our well-being, and it just gives us a bit more empowerment to go back to our GP and say, actually, all of these things on this list are looking like autism. Please, can I have some kind of assessment?
And so that's a good thing, really, isn't it? It's taking so,
Great
it's
thing.
sad, isn't it? It's taking this long, though, to get to this point, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really sad on one hand, but what's really good is that all of a sudden everybody's looking at it. And it, I mean, it's sad that it's taken this long, and it's also sad that the waiting list can be quite long. But one of the services that we offer is our information, advice, and guidance service. And that it's a phone line, or it's an email, or it's an in-person conversation with one of our information, advice, and guidance officers. And they will support anybody pre, post, mid-diagnosis, pre-assessment. And it doesn't have to be you. You know, there are a lot of parents out there who are on waiting lists that could be years long, potentially, from start to finish. So that's one of our services that we can help with. Whilst we know the waiting list is long and can be, you know, pretty scary ride for people, we can provide that support with or without the diagnosis at any point through that journey.
And going back to that diagnosis there, Maxine, are there different types of autism?
Well, what a question. I mean, autism is a spectrum, and it can mean loads of different things for loads of different people. And just like every human is made up differently, everyone with autism is made up differently. I can give you some examples. But again, it's no one size fits all, and essentially every autistic person is a different autistic person. But we could talk about things that are a bit more kind of widely talked about, or a bit more, you could say, stereotypical. people with autism might have a stronger preference for routine or certainty. Therefore, they might experience higher anxiety levels during times of change. Sensory processing and sensory differences is something that's really quite important for autistic people. And that could be hyper or hypo, so under or over sensitive. And then that could be to any of your senses. It could be sound, touch, taste, smell, light. So that's, you know, one thing, one of the boxes. And then one of the really cool things is people with autism will often focus in on a really intense, quite niche interest. So they may be more passionate and knowledgeable about certain topics, and actually quite disinterested in things that aren't in their realm of interest. But there's loads of different things. Communication's a big one, Chris. Some autistic people don't speak. They're nonverbal and they'll communicate in completely different ways. They might be verbal, but might not have the kind of ebbs and flows of a conversation that I might be having right now. They might come across as quite monotone. That's a challenge in society. People can often perceive autistic people to be quite rude or abrupt, and they're not. They're just saying the words that they need to say.
So there's
not different types. It just impacts people's lives differently.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably the best way to look at it. Your website actually is quite detailed, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because we want everybody to know the services that we offer, and we want everybody to know that they have access to us. So not only those kind of really supportive services that I've already mentioned, but we've also got our serendipity groups, and they are huge in Portsmouth, and we're actually opening a couple more in the coming months. And I don't know how to express exactly what they do for autistic people in the area, but some of the feedback we've had is that the serendipity group saved my life. I finally found my tribe, and it's social groups for autistic people. Some of them are special interest groups, some of them are workshops, some of them are artsy, some of them are just get-togethers. But it's huge, and people really feel supported and together and heard and recognised. And one of the highlights of Autism Acceptance Week was that in partnership with MAS and Southampton Art Gallery, we actually had an entire exhibition of art in the gallery, all art completed by members of our serendipity groups, which I just think is fantastic.
And that makes it special, doesn't it? And that's great, isn't it? And again, this is the community bit coming back into it, particularly, which is important, particularly for what you do in Autism Hampshire anyway.
Absolutely. The clue's in the name, isn't it? Autism Hampshire and the people of Hampshire. And also not just for autistic people, but serendipity in particular, our community groups. We are so reliant on volunteers in the local community. You know, we don't have enough of us to be running 6 social groups every day, but with an incredible team of volunteers that support us, we're able to do more and more of that. We're always on the lookout for more volunteers. We always want to encourage people to come along. You know, we offer training for our volunteers in autism, so it's a learning journey for them as well.
Go on, you carry on.
I'm on a roll now, Chris.
Go on, you're on a roll, Max. You were nervous to start with me. Not now, you're not. Go on, girl.
So not only have we got that training, we've also got a bunch of people called our external training team, and they are amazing. And the training that they deliver is to anyone, so like small businesses, leisure centres, schools, but it's autism training by autistic people, delivered by autistic people, from an autism specialist charity. You can't get any more, you know, specialised than that. It really is. It's leading the way, isn't it? If you've got autistic people delivering that training, you can't really ask for much more.
Well, no, because they can relate to the subject matter anyway, can't they? So it just makes sense, I'm guessing, in that respect. And it's great stuff that they, you know, you all do. And that's the, I'm guessing, a lot of people, see, this is the thing, is that a lot of people don't realise that an organisation such as yourself is very much really run on donations and things like that.
Yeah, we are. And we have a shop in Fareham. And I have to get that in there. because it's just a brilliant... So it's a charity shop in Fareham. We are always welcoming of donations, but it's actually a really great shop as well. I have to limit how often I go in there, Chris, otherwise I end up spending my
Come out of the shop.
Yeah, exactly. but there's just so many ways that the community can be involved in our charity. We have runners in the marathon, the London Marathon at the weekend. You know, there's so many different ways that people can support us to support more people of Hampshire.
And that's the beauty of it, isn't it? And there's all sorts of ways to do that. Just going back to the actual group very quick, because we are running out of time. I'm looking at the clock, actually. How are people referred to you? What's that process?
Well, it's any which way, to be honest, Chris. So if you go on our website, depending on what service you want, there's a page on there for each service. So if you look at the Serendipity community groups, for example, you can just pop an inquiry on there, find out your local group, and then one of our fantastic team will be in touch to offer you a taster session, find out any reasonable adjustments that you might need. For the IAG service, so the information, advice and guidance, again, you can go on our website, you can call the number, you can contact them by email. But it's pretty much however is best for that person. One way or another, we'll be able to find somebody to support.
And that's all you need, isn't it? Sort of a G-up sometimes and just someone to hold your hand and guide you through it. Because I'm guessing for some people, it can be a bit of a maze anyway.
Oh, absolutely. It's I use the word journey, but I think of a not just a, you know, a nice straight road. I think of a road with a couple of potholes and a couple of speed bumps and a couple of bends in, you know, and it can be a really long journey as well. So having that kind of that support, that pillar, just to lean on if and when you need them, I think it's really important.
Absolutely. Give the details of the website, how people can get hold of you then, Maxine.
Yeah, so it is autismhampshire.org.uk. And you'll also be able to look at that website and see some of our lovely stories from Autism Acceptance Week, from our own staff members, people that we support, just giving a bit of feedback on the support that they've received and what it means to them.
And they are thought-provoking, aren't they, I'm guessing?
They are. There's one in particular here. I guess I'm a little bit biased because she's in one of my teams, but the story of Sue is on our website, and it's quite moving. It's, you know, her story of how she actually denied her autism for over a decade, but came to work with us and has now, you know, accepted that she's autistic and how that's changed her life.
And that's just incredible. I think I remember reading about this, actually. Now, it rings a bell with me. Incredible story. Didn't even realise until she joined you.
Yeah, exactly. And it happens so often, yeah. You know. We all go through life thinking we have, you know, our things. And when you put it all together and you speak to someone else, you think, oh, actually, that might be me.
Yeah. And that's just... It's a fabulous story, and the irony there a little bit, I'm guessing, but in some ways, a fabulous story. But and that just proves the work that you do as an organisation, which is great, and you help people. And I think that's the important bit of all of it. And again, Maxine, people want to volunteer for you, fundraise for you. Again, I'm guessing the website's the best place to go.
Yeah, definitely the website. We are on social media as well, and our Facebook page is looked at every single day. So even if somebody just wants to pop a message on there, I know that we can signpost you from there to the right person to speak to. Volunteers, again, you can call our head office. The phone number's on the website, or there's a tab on there that says support us, and it says volunteering opportunities. I really want to plug the volunteers, Chris, if I can. So shout out to anyone in Hampshire, particularly in the Portsmouth area, that fancies a bit of volunteering with Autism Hampshire. We have a great training programme, and without our volunteers, we simply can't do what we do.
Fantastic job you do too as well. Maxine, it's been lovely talking to you. Sorry the clock's beaten us, we're out of time. But Maxine, I tell you what, later in the year, would you come in?
Absolutely.
Would you come into the studio and have a cup of tea with us?
It would be another bucket list tick for me, Chris.